This episode is brought to you by our good, beautiful friends at MGI Golf. With over 30 years of Australian-owned and operated golf innovation, MGI Golf are the world leaders in motorized golf buggy technology. Give yourself the gift of playing more golf with MGI motorized buggy by visiting mgigolf.com or your local golf retailer.
Harley Tarai, Jack McLeod, what's happening, boys?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, mate.
How are we? Hey, boys, so to set the scene here, we are sitting in a... We're in Dundee at the moment, in Scotland, at the 150th Open, St. Andrews. We've been pinching ourselves all week. So much to get through today. We're just about to actually head to day four, Sunday. So much going on, so much happening. But first, let's set the scene. Let's talk about what we've been doing, how we got here, who we are, and what's happening. So for those of you, like everyone knows who you guys are, obviously, already. But for those of you who maybe have been living under a rock for the first, you know, 20 years of their life, Ali, you go first. Tell us who you are and what
sure
you do.
I'm pretty sure outside of our parents and a few close friends, no one really knows us for starters. So, well, I'm Ali Tarai. I'm the founder and CEO of Future Golf.
And I'm Jack McLeod, PGA professional and mainly a golf coach at X-Golf. Golf Mentone.
Love it. Fantastic, boys. How exciting has this been? It's been such a couple of good weeks. But quickly, let's just talk about this, where we are at the moment. Now, Ali, we linked up maybe, I'm going to say like 3-4 months ago.
Yeah.
It feels like about a week ago. Yeah. Literally just linked up via email. Mutual friend of ours, Mick Jamison, put us together. We caught up for a coffee. And maybe, I wouldn't mind actually hearing your side of the story of how you think we actually got here and what, if you even thought it would happen.
Well, just a really interesting coffee meeting. Like, it just elevated very rapidly and like things escalated. Like, I think we spoke about crypto. Like, it started off speaking about cryptocurrency. Like, I don't even know why we were there.
And you're, I didn't, don't even have any, yeah, at that
you're
stage.
Like, we'll just go grab a quick coffee. And I'm like, okay, let's go grab a coffee. And then I think about 15 minutes in, I'm like, hey, mate, me and this bloke, Jack, we're going to the Open in St. Andrews. It's 150th Open. And I think that day it got announced that Tiger Woods was probably going to be playing, even though he's on one leg and pretty cooked at the moment. And then you're like, yeah, I think I'm in. And I'm like, I'm not really sure that was like an offer or an invite. He's like, it's like, yeah, I think I could figure out like how to make it. Just leave it with me. And I'll be on board. And I just thought it was just one of those throwaway lines. Like, there's no chance, like, after a 10-minute meeting, this bloke's going to come all the way to Europe with us and head into the Open. But yeah, lo and behold, mate, credit.
No, credit to you. Credit for you for making it happen. We've been... I don't know if when you're away, but like us three at the moment, us four, sorry, Sam's here as well, we've just been on this like whirlwind of just like, what the fuck are we actually doing right now? Like, we're in Scotland, we played at King's Barnes yesterday, you know, we've been meters away from like Tiger Woods, you know, Rory McIlroy, Cam Smith, and it's just like pinching yourself of like what we're actually doing. One thing I do want to talk about though is you said you like in that meeting, and Jack, I don't know if you know, maybe you got sold the same thing. Ali said to me, he goes, mate, if you get over here, I'll sort the accommodation. And I was like, oh my God, how good is this? This is fantastic. Okay, all I've got to do is get over there and we work it out. I've got some spare rooms. Yeah. If I had known where we would have been staying, I probably would have sourced my own accommodation. Because at the moment, I don't actually know if this place is like healthily livable or habitable. Yeah. Do you want to explain where we are? Maybe Jack to give his point of view of where we're actually staying at the moment.
When we saw Jack, Jack's like, hey, you've done well with this place. Like, this is me. There's different expectations going on here.
Well, for someone that did a lot of the groundwork of trying to find the accommodation, it was bloody impossible.
Yeah.
Like, Lucas Herbert staying at a student accommodation.
Yeah.
Like, such a small town that, like, it's just hard to find accommodation. So it's sort of the who's who in the normal places and all the other out-of-towners and random dudes in like weird accommodation like this.
Yeah, it's actually making the trip though. Like, it's been fantastic. Sam, on the first night we came home, got like, we're in studio accommodation. So there's like 7 doors to get to your own like door. The rooms have an interesting sort of like sense of smell. I'm going to put it that way.
I've got feet.
Yeah, but yeah, like the showers, I don't think, like, I actually feel dirtier after I've got out of the shower than when I've been in. And the one thing, like, the days have been so long, right? Like, we're doing 30K days a day, like just walking around. I'm in bed the other night, like just about to go to sleep. And Sam messages me saying, hey, man, left my key at the Open. So he had to come back into my room. I had to go get him and slept on the fucking floor in my room, which I think he might have like hepatitis or something from. But anyway, we'll move on.
He hasn't been the same since.
He hasn't been the same since.
Yeah,
hey, Ali, before we get into it as well, the way we met, besides the fact while we're getting the coffee, is you have an incredible business, which I love, and you know, we linked up playing golf. That's how we met, golf friends. Talk us through a bit about Future Golf. I want to get you on the podcast one day to tell the full story, but give us a bit of a rundown what like Future Golf is and how it works.
Yeah, awesome. Pretty much Future Golf is like a flexible way to get into golf. Like, for me personally, when I was getting into the game, it was pretty hard to get into the sport. It was hard to navigate, like, okay, where do I get golf clubs? How do I learn the game? Do I play it like a driving range? Do I go to a public course? Do I go to a private course? And I kind of navigated it not really knowing many people in the sport. And then I'm like, figured it out after about a year of trial and error. And then I'm like, I love this game and I want to get some of my friends into it as well. What does that then look like? And then got sort of 6 to 8 of my friends addicted to golf. And I'm like, well, if we're now all here, surely there's other people that also want to get into the sport but just don't really know how. So the whole idea was to just, yeah, create something that made the sport more accessible, a little bit more of a, I guess, entry-level value proposition as well, to make it a bit more of a no-brainer rather than having to spend $2,000-$3,000 on a golf membership. And yeah, at the end of the day, what we pretty much do is we partner up with all different golf courses, facilities, professionals, retailers, and we plug all that into our platform and package that up as a membership. So yeah, golfers can get into the game no matter where they are in their journey.
Yeah, and you can basically, like, I'm a Future Golf member as well. That's actually how we first met. When I reached out to you because I wanted to meet you about it, was you sign up and you can actually, like, go to, like, 10 to 20. Yep. Like, how many courses have you got now? Like,
we've got over 100.
Over 100 courses, yep. And you can get on, like, on certain days over there. So, like, it doesn't restrict you to playing one, which is it's super cool, man, and it's such a good way to get into it. It's actually how I got into it. Awesome. As well, so I really, really love and respect your business.
Tell us a little bit about your golf journey. Like, what made you want to get into golf?
Literally that. Like, I was the first thing I did was I was playing with mates, and I think, you know, I might have spoken about this a little bit, but I never really grew up playing golf, like, accessibly for me. Like, my family wasn't into golf. It was one of those barriers that, like, you know, there's a few barriers around it because it is a very expensive sport to get into, and it does take, like, an investment to get into. But now it is so accessible, and especially with things like Future Golf and your business, exactly what you've done. You can go and just, like, play at all these courses with cheaper memberships and everything like that. So that's how my love for it came. But to be honest, for me, it's like, it's such a mental thing for me. It's such an escape. It's such a getting out into nature. I think I was telling you boys yesterday, like, my goal for 2023, and you laugh now, but I really want to do this, is I want to start learning. I can't even want to admit this on the podcast, but I want to start learning about trees. Yes. And, like, when I'm on a golf course, I want to be like, that's a pine tree, that's an English oak, that's a weeping, you know, just like, so I can just, like, just talk about trees.
We are looking for a tree specialist. Good, because, just to, like, help other golfers that have the same interest.
Well, the one part about that is I spend so much fucking time in the trees trying to find my ball. So I want to know about what I'm sort of doing. But the other part is just, like, being in nature, and as stupid as it sounds, like, being to, like, the closest form of where we get oxygen from, in my mind, I just get something from it that, like, is crazy. Jackie boy, tell us about your journey, mate, because we played at King's Barnes yesterday,
we had a great day.
Which is a great day. Yep. And I'm sitting here with the biggest imposter syndrome right now. I'm sitting with the CEO of Future Golf. I'm sitting with Jack McLeod, PGA Pro. We're playing in Scotland on one of the best courses in the world. I play off 22 handicap and have been playing for about a year. Sam plays off 25, and I'm better than him. And
we won, by the way, but go on.
And we're literally just sitting there, like, playing golf. But your journey is incredible as well. Like, what's your sort of journey into golf? How'd you get started, and how'd you get to where you are now?
Yeah, for sure. I always played all the sports and loved playing golf because my brother was 2 years older than me. He was way better than me at golf, so you just have that personal challenge to beat him. So I just practiced a bit harder. And then when I was 15, 16, it was sort of the crossroads of cricket and footy and golf, and chose golf because there's a bit more career opportunity and just loved it. Like, I was all in from such a young age, and practicing hard didn't feel like practice and this and that. So started playing some events, and then did the PGA traineeship where you get to play tournament play and learn about coaching and stuff. And that sort of just molded me more towards coaching. Like, I would really rather prefer to see someone improve than have a good score myself. It was just in my nature to be more geared towards helping people with their game than worry about it myself. So it was, even there was times I was coaching a couple of good players and I was playing an event myself in the same event. I was more worried about what they were doing rather than myself. So it just sort of started to form its way towards coaching, and just absolutely love it. And then linking in with Future Golf pretty early on when they started up with, they were just running out of a garage and just a home phone number pretty much. Linked in with them and just wanted to help out any way I could because I just loved the concept and what it was going to do. At the time, I was probably 25, something like that. Not a lot of people, none of my mates played. And it was almost like you'd play a dodgy public course or you would join a really big super duper course. So to be able to link in with Future Golf was really cool. And now it's a big part of my business, coaching all the Future Golf members and being really exposed to the younger generation of golfers, which I love.
100%. And the amount of, I don't know what we've done more this weekend, Ali, whether that's watching golf or business chats about like just creating some of the weirdest, most outrageous fucking collaboration ideas with More Greens Golf and Future. But the shit that we've got planned, which we don't, we could have like a 7-part series on it. But like, you know,
if we do one or two of these.
Yeah, I know, we do one or two of them. One of them, to just show the extremities, was creating a future coin that's a cryptocurrency where we own everything in the golf landscape in the world, which that's sort of the end goal. But the other one that we want to do, and I've spoken about this a lot, like More Greens Golf Days with Future Golf, getting people, because I think where we really align, all four of us really align, is like just getting people into golf that never thought about it. And like, I never thought about it. We all probably never thought about it growing up, but like, it's just the fucking coolest thing ever to get into and how much we've enjoyed it. And I know a lot of people listening today, like a lot of the people that listen don't play golf here, but the message to me isn't even about golf. It's doing something that you never thought you would do. Yeah. And for me, that's what we're doing here right now.
For sure. And I think one of the coolest things, and this is what I found, is say after uni and after school, when you start heading into your late 20s or even early 30s or 40s, whatever it is, it's pretty hard to build really cool relationships and friendships, whereas golf can just become this glue for that, right? Like you think about where we started, right? From coffee meeting to playing a round of golf to now spending a week in Scotland and going to the best event. Like you can just escalate a relationship so quickly, where you can't do that in many other ways in life. Like, I'm not really sure how.
It's the best way for men, young men in general, just because of like mental health and everything, and women.
Yeah,
but just in terms of mental health, I'm talking to have conversations with each other.
For sure.
Men and women equally, like everyone loves golf, but I've found for guys that really struggle to talk about things, when you're going and you play 18 rounds, you're with each other for 5 hours, and it's very hard to have a surface level conversation for that long, and you end up just getting into the weirdest and best conversations, learning new things.
About trees.
About trees. Hey, Jack, I skipped on something before, but I want to ask you as well about, you're a mad Saints fan, and you're training a few of the big dogs at the Saints. Who are you training at the moment?
It's funny, I give a few of the boys lessons, and we don't talk about footy at all. There's not one conversation about footy. All they want to talk about is golf. They want to know who's going to win the next event and what the new driver's like and have you hit this and done that. So it's all just golf nerd chat, which is really cool. But Big Rowan Marshall's my main man. He's swinging it pretty good at the moment. Oh, so
what's he playing off?
I think he's getting close to single figures.
Wow.
And I think Steely's around the same mark. Dean Kent's a very good player for the Saints. There's a few little hot shots, but a lot of them took it up in the lockdown period when they were in the hub in Queensland.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of times I was, as a full-blown Saints nuffy, sending a set of golf clubs to Callum Wilkie up in Queensland and throwing in a few extra balls and tees and trying to give him a bit of love, a bit of good karma for the footy field. But yeah, I love helping out the boys just because they love golf so much. Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm so passionate about. People that are just taking it up, younger guys or girls taking it up and just getting right into it and falling in love with the game. And the fact that I can sort of help them get better and enjoy it more, just that's what sort of gets me up out of bed in the morning 100%. To help golfers. And I just love it.
Are you accessible to anyone? Like, I know you're a PGA pro, but can anyone come to you for a lesson?
Yeah, absolutely. And even in the environment I coach in the ex-golf center, it's an indoor center. There's a bar there. There's music playing. Sometimes I'm in a hoodie, so it's just a really relaxed environment.
I'm already booking myself in for a lesson.
There you go. We've got a bit of a collaboration plan for that one. So, it's just such a great sport to be involved in, to be able to meet sports stars and whatnot. And you sort of go all around the globe and see how many avid sports people love golf. Yeah, there's heaps of that. And like meeting Niall Horan the other day and a few other celebs in the crowd, Ash Barty earlier in the week. So it's just, it's definitely cool to be here. But just the sport in general, just my ability to help people get better at golf, is really good. And sometimes I get a kick out of someone breaking 100 for the first time rather than breaking par.
Yeah.
There's more satisfaction in someone cracking that 100. It might happen one day, so you just got to stick at it.
Yeah. My biggest thing now is breaking 90. I've hit 90 before.
Yeah.
So I want to break 90. Anyway, not about me.
Quick break in today's podcast to talk to you about our good friends at MGI Golf, the ones that are making this all happen. They have over 30 years of Australian owned and operated golf innovation. MGI are the world leaders in motorized golf buggy technology. You can play shots under less fatigue with the MGI Zip Navigator motorized buggy. I know that helps me. I get that tight out there. I need everything on my side to even hit one straight. Featuring MGI's renowned full directional remote control and their patent gyroscopic straight tracker technology that automatically keeps your buggy tracking straight across the terrain. You can even charge a smartphone, GPS or any other USB compatible device using the inbuilt 5-watt USB port. With over 80 service centers and a 3-year warranty, you can enjoy your investment and your golf for years to come. Give yourself the gift of playing more golf with an MGI motorized buggy by visiting mgigolf.com or visit your local retailer. The link will also be in the show notes. You
boys, who's let's give everyone a bit of an example of like where we are at the moment, why we're here, like as in the 150th, the Open, in the relevance of sport and in golf in general, like how big is this and why is it so special?
Yeah, it's just huge. The St. Andrews is the home of golf. Yeah. Everyone around the world.
People say that the home of golf, like was golf like actually invented like around here or is it like at the course? Yeah,
This is the scene of the first golf ever played.
Wow.
So this is where it all started. Hence the name, the home of golf. The RNA, which is the governing body out of all the golf that create all the rules and whatnot, they're based here. So there's a big sort of just so much history at this venue from the 1700s. Like it's ridiculous how old it is. And you look around that 18th hole and you see some of those old buildings and it's pretty remarkable the venue we're at. And then the fact that it's the 150th just makes it so special. They play the Open on different courses in a rotation. And this is normally, I think it's every 5 or so years, but being the milestone number, this is the one. It was actually meant to be last year, but they cancelled one of the Opens, so it sort of rolled over to this year. So yeah, it's just huge. Just I think even the general sports fan can really appreciate how special St. Andrews is. Even if they're a non-golfer, they might have a friend or family member that plays golf. And the word St. Andrews has come up in a dinner table somewhere, some way in a lot of people's life. So it's pretty special to be here.
Oh, man, like we walk around and you get the vibe and even like the fact, like my favorite part of the whole thing has been walking through the crowd, hearing all the different accents or hearing all the different people. And like, you just sit back and like one thing I've been trying to get better at is like being present. And I felt like I've never been as present as I've been on this trip because I'm just like so grateful for like the experience of like being here. And I'm not even really I love playing golf.
Yeah.
I love playing footy, but I was never really a spectator. Mm. But it's been you can't really put into words. Like walking around, watching like Jordan Spieth, you know, Rory McIlroy, like Scheffler, all like Tiger, I'm fucking standing next to Tiger Woods. Like I'm a grown man, sort of. I'm a grown boy, and I was getting like shaky at like the knees, just like being around these sort of like people. It's been crazy.
Amazing.
What's been your highlight of the trip?
I think the big one, and I was reflecting on this yesterday, was I came down here in 2015, sort of when we were 1 year into this journey, and I was able to play a little bit of golf around Scotland. So I actually got a 3-day pass at St. Andrews and you can play unlimited golf, but you just can't play on the old course. So I was like sort of looking at it at a tournament on that day. And I remember just sitting there and like I was journaling back then and found like this old journal entry. It was just like, I wonder one day if like it was Gen Y golf back then could become a legitimate thing where we actually impact golf. And like just sort of picturing like, is this something that's possible where we can change the game, but also build something that we love and even come back to this place for something like the Open. So that was like a really big, like surreal pinch me moment yesterday, just sort of looking back on it. Like you mentioned gratitude there, just being grateful off from there to now where everything just seemed impossible and improbable and like never imagined being at something like the 150th Open to actually then being here. And we're hanging out with like the CEO of the PGA and you've got people within the industry that you know and creating content, like part of the media, like doing all these other little bits and pieces that just felt so ridiculous if you looked at them in 2015 to now be sitting there and being a part of this. Like, it's like, wow, like what a cool sort of evolution of that story, and then just as Jack said, just how historic this tournament is and will be moving forward. Like, say for example, we're going into round four today. If Rory McIlroy wins this tournament, or Cam Smith wins this tournament, or whoever wins it, like, it's going to be sketched into history forever, and we'll be like, we were there, we saw that unfold. And like, we're mucking around, like, we're saying that, so in 50 years time at the 200 Open, if we make it, we'll be like, what, 80, somewhere between 80 and 85. And imagine like having this flag or whatever it is and be like, remember when we were there like 50 years ago and we saw Rory McIlroy like 38? Yeah. It's like, yeah, that'd be cool. It's, I know. It's amazing.
It's like, funny, like, when, you know, what we were saying before as well about you walk around, you go like, how are we doing this? Like, you, yeah, you have that little bit. And I mentioned this, yeah, in a mini I did the other day just by myself. I was like reflecting on it. And I know that this comment is just silly in a way, but something that was going through my head, I was going like, fuck, you know, like, I don't deserve this. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I shouldn't be here, these things. But then,
after getting your Tanae this week, like, you don't.
Yeah, like, but exactly.
You're correct.
Well, exactly.
The then, imposter syndrome is like, so,
it's actually
so
just
legit.
It's actually just like, facts. Yeah. But then you get to that stage as well. And I'm not talking just about like golf. I'm talking about this like in life in, yeah, general. When you go like, why the fuck not though? Yeah. Like, why?
Yeah,
if you want to do it, yeah, you just got to try and do your best.
We said it the other day, like, someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to be here. Someone's got to be here. No. Yeah, so that's up today. Now, talking into day four, just give us a couple of tips. Who do you think is going
to
win?
We'll go to the expert here.
Yeah, it's just yesterday when Rory McIlroy started to charge up the leaderboard. It was just electric.
Talk like, through that on the 10th when he bunkered out. Like, yeah, the noise.
It was
like,
pretty unbelievable. So we were following Cam Smith down the 9th hole, and he was getting ready to putt for eagle. So we're up and about trying to get ready for an eagle putt, which would have put him into within two of the lead, which is just special to see an Aussie do so well. And then over on 9, which is probably 200 metres away, and the biggest grandstand of the whole tournament is set up for that hole because it's quite a good little area to see two or three holes. Yeah. And he hit his shot. You just heard this murmur start, and that was the ball in flight, and then it hit the green. And it was just tracking towards the hole, and it was just the loudest roar you could imagine. So, and that's almost the, if Rory McIlroy goes on to win, that is the moment etched in history for this tournament. Yeah. So we didn't sort of see it. Yeah, they were just going berserk. So it was like someone scored a goal in a Soccer World Cup. Like, everyone just started roaring. So it was really cool. So Rory McIlroy, equal leader with Victor Hovland. It looks pretty good. But if Cam Smith can make a bit of an early charge, we could be on.
That's it. And we're heading in there soon to see it. Now, just a little quick little anecdote on that story about Rory McIlroy getting it out of the bunker and hitting it in.
Yeah.
We heard the roar. I heard the roar. Unfortunately, it's in history. It'll be forever known that I was actually in the first aid tent at the time getting treated to a blister the size of a fucking tennis ball on my foot. And I was like, Sam, I can't walk. Because for those who don't know, like, the holes here when you walk a golf course, they're all out in a row. Mm. So when you walk out, it's like nearly 10Ks out of the way. Like, I have not been able to fucking walk. I've got the biggest blister. And I was like, I'm going to find, let's go to this first aid tent quickly and piss off and I'll come back. I've missed literally the best part of the whole tour so far when I was in there getting my blister attended to in the first aid tent. Like, the place was shaking. It was unbelievable.
For the golf fans, it's that comment of where were you when Rory McIlroy
hit I was in the first aid tent getting my blister attended to. In there anyway. Ali, who do you think takes it home?
I don't know. I love a good come from like the underdog story, so it'd be great to see somebody like, I don't know, Lucas Herbert just go out and shoot the lights out and like shoot a 59 and win it from nowhere. But I think, as Jack said, like, I think Rory win, like, say with Tiger out of the field, if Rory wins it, it's pretty special. Like, he's probably going to go down as one of like the greats of this generation, obviously already there. To then win the 150th Open, it's a pretty cool story. Like, I think if you were writing the Open script and like the crowds, just because Rory's obviously nearly becomes the hometown favourite, even though he's Irish in Scotland, it'll be insane out there if Rory McIlroy wins this Open today. Like, so I don't know. But good luck to all, and it'll be an epic final.
I don't know who's going to win, but I would obviously love to see Cam Smith get up. It'd be absolutely unbelievable for Australian sport. If not, though, one guy that I've just really taken a liking to, and obviously, like, this guy's cool, but just seeing him up close and in person, and I just love, like, everything sort of about him is Scheffler. Yeah. Like, just a cool dude. He's absolutely massive. He's like 190, big guy, like, just clean, like, just love the way he walks around, his presence. He's so calm. Looks like he has a lot of fun out there. Just looks like an awesome guy. So I really liked him too. but as I said, it's going to be awesome going into last day. I just want to say one more thing about this golf, because we've been very, very lucky. Like, as yesterday, it was Adam Scott's birthday. Well, you boys already know the story, but to fill everyone else in, we got to go into the media center when he was doing a press conference after the game, and give him Tim Tams and Vegemite. And I'm not joking. Like, I don't really get nervous when doing media, but when you're in like Scotland and there's like probably 20 other like fucking people from all over the world asking questions, and I'm sitting there with some Tim Tams and Vegemite trying to jump in and just thinking, like, I kept going because I didn't want to get up and go, hey man, like, you know, like at the start, because knowing that that would be in there forever. We might actually stitch it in. Yeah, we'll stitch it in now. So have a listen to it. This is what it was.
You've just come from the first aid tent at this point, too. So you're feeling up and about.
Straight from the first aid tent into this. Have a listen.
Scotty, sorry, mate. Last one. Just from Australia. Not a question. Just want to say happy birthday. We love what you're doing. Super proud of you. We're all cheering for you. So we bought this from home. If you're happy to take it. We love you. Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So that was it. Absolutely nailed it. We went there. He was such a good dude. Had a photo with him after. It was so cool. After that, Sam, who, you know, credit to him, all the limelight, you know, he sets me up for it. He doesn't want these photos. He goes, that's Noel Horan. I was like, Sam, that's not fucking Noel Horan. I'm telling you now, it's not. And we're walking over. He goes, mate, it's him. Like, it is him. I'm like, I'm going to go for a photo. And I'm like, man, it's not him. But you know what? It'd be funnier, even if it's not him, to get the photo anyway and then just be like, I thought this was Noel Horan. It was. Got a photo with him as well. So, like, just, like, seeing, like, Noel Horan. And I fucking met Rick Shields as well, which, like, for me, as someone who doesn't break, like, 120, seeing him on YouTube has just been, like, awesome too. But, yeah, it's been a good cool. few days. It's been awesome. I'll put you on the spot here. Mm. But for anyone out there that does want to look to get into golf, future golf, can we do a Dylan Friends little gifty and of just course, see what's going on? Can we
Dylan
put a code
Friends
out there?
Are Friends of Future Golf.
Friends of Future Golf, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll make a code, Dylan Friends, and 30% off for anyone that comes through.
30%.
So let's do it.
Oh, my God, it's extremely generous. Awesome. So you want to rethink that? Maybe just make it 10?
Yeah, maybe. Like, if it gets ridiculous,
mate,
we'll just 30%, like stop that.
That's actually legitness. So anyone who wants to get into golf, please do. Make sure you check out futuregolf.com.au.
Yep.
And obviously on the Instagrams as well, Future Golf, we'll make sure we post it and have the link in the show notes for that. But yeah, extremely generous, mate. Dylan Friends code. We'll get it out there. And stay tuned for the More Greens Golf, Future Golf, Golf Day at the end of this year, which is going to be good.
That'll be fun.
It's going to be really, really good. Mm-hmm. Really going to shoot the fucking lights out. Jack, you going to come?
Absolutely, I'll be there. I'll give you what did you say your handicap was? 22.
22.
I'll give you another 30 shots and pants you again. So.
Yeah. The thing was the other day, like, Jack plays off scratch. I play off 22. He said he'd give me 30 shots. Yeah. He still beat me.
Yeah, it was worse.
He shot one under.
Yeah, no. Jack, like, that's the best I've ever seen Jack play.
Yeah.
And I've played with Jack a few times, and he was perfect. So I think the new thing now is Jack just needs to go and get higher clubs.
Yeah.
And play golf courses and play in Scotland.
Yeah.
No real warm up. And that's the magic shot sauce there, man. That was amazing.
Anything else we didn't touch? Well, boys, that has been absolutely incredible. I must say, I've been extremely grateful to spend the time with you guys. Love it. I think we're best friends for life. let's get into the final day and see what happens.
Let's do it.
Awesome, let's do it.
Yeah. Guys, I just have to jump in here. This is recorded on our phone. We've just finished up. Cameron Smith has won the Open. My goodness gracious me. Look, even I don't even know what to say, but, like, even if you're not a golf fan, that was one of the most iconic pieces of, like, sporting history that, you know, of the modern era. It was unbelievable. Cam Smith was four shots behind yesterday. He shot 8-under today to come and steal the win. You know, I was sitting on the 7th, like, we were sitting on the 17th hole, which, for those golf lovers, like, that was the hardest hole. It's a really, 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 really hard hole. It's where everyone comes undone. And I was sitting right behind him where he made par on that hole. After him coming through was Rory McIlroy, who shot this absolutely even better shot. It was right near the pin. And he'd missed that putt, and then going into the last, Rory again made birdie. It was just crazy. Like, as I said, he was four shots under. Anyway, besides the fact of that, it was just absolutely incredible. We'll definitely do a bit more of an extended wrap. Like I said, we're just out the front of the media center. It's been absolutely mayhem. I've never experienced anything like it. As soon as they came past on the 17th, everyone ran onto the golf course and just followed it in. There was, you know, over 200,000 people running around, and yeah, obviously Cam Smith taking it out and
winning was super special, and I honestly just can't express like just gratitude. I had tears in my eyes. It was one of the most rawest, coolest things that I've been a part of, and just feeling incredibly blessed. And then as soon as that went after it, we're like, fucking hell, we're just on an absolute high, just running around ragged doing. We didn't even know what we were doing. We're so pumped, and we have media accreditation, and we ran into the press conference. And, you know, Cam was asking questions, and everyone was asking questions about golf. And I was like, you know what, fuck this. You're only here once. I'm going to ask him a question. Before this, he'd said that, you know, he wanted to fill his cup up with beers and see how many beers he could have. So then when I went in the press conference and sat there, my heart was genuinely thought I might have been having a heart attack. Like, I was that nervous. I got the person, you know, Sam actually ushered the person over to give me the mic. I'm sitting there. It took like 10 minutes for them to pick me out. And I'm sitting there, my heart was just beating at like 100 miles an hour. Like, I don't even know why. Like, obviously I do. It was on a world stage and people everywhere. The room was packed. And this is what I asked him.
Yep. Cam, a few Aussies here, mate. Congratulations. Super proud of you. You sit outside, you can have a few beers tonight and fill the cup. Have you estimated how many beers it's going to take in there to drink it all?
I'm
going to
guess two.
Yeah.
Two cans of beer.
How many more will you have after that?
I'll probably have about 20 glasses.
No, mate.
I'm not sure, mate. To be honest, I'm really tired. It's been a long week, so I'd be surprised if I make it past 10 or 11 o'clock tonight.
If you need me to drive you home, I can do that.
Yeah.
So he absolutely loved it. It was unbelievable. As I said, we'll definitely wrap this day up again. But yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I think if you listen to the pod a lot, I've spoken about how much I'm trying to be better at being present and being in the moment, and like, I felt like this has been nearly this past sort of 4 days, most in present that I've been, and being overseas, being just grateful for being here, and just being absolutely blessed, and for everyone else that's been following the journey and sending messages and asking everything. I can't thank you all enough. Obviously, I didn't win the Open, so this is definitely not about me, but just on my behalf. It's been unreal. We'll definitely check in with a bit more of a recap of everything. But now, we'll shoot to an episode that we recorded this morning before we were actually heading in talking about our predictions. So I'm really hoping in this I said Cam Smith would win. I think I said I want him to. I don't know if he could. To be honest, I don't think many people thought he could come back from four shots behind and do it, but he did. And I don't even know, guys. Absolutely unbelievable. Incredible moment. I hope you're all well back home. I'll be home soon. I want to give you all a hug and a kiss. And thanks so much for all your love and support. Go Cam Smith.
Thanks for listening to another Producey podcast. If you enjoyed the show, that'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share with one of your friends, or you could do them all. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggest a guest, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producey.com. Thanks for tuning in. Ilyxx.